Amen. Let that be your testimony. Let that be your worship song this week. Let it be your reminder that how great is our God. In the midst of everything that's going on, don't let the noise of the world discourage you. Remember, meditate on that, worship to that, read the word. And let me give you a psalm to read as that song is playing, Psalms 145 and 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is beyond understanding. As you're listening to that, it just sinks into your spirit. Then you realize how pointless it is to worry about stuff, because God is in control. Trust God. You got to leave the details to God. Trust God and leave the details to God, because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is beyond understanding. How great is our God. I love you for that, Lord. Thank you for being great in my life. As I trust and depend on you each and every day, Lord, continue to be great in my life and in the life of your people. Let's quickly go over some of the announcements. Want to definitely thank you for your giving. Thank you so much so we can continue to spread the word, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and decaying world. So I want to thank you so much for your giving. It's greatly appreciated. And we're touching lives all around the world through South Bay Abundant Life Church and the ministry and the missions and the missionaries that we support that are going all over the world, different countries. And so thank you so much for your generosity. It allows us to do that, and you playing your part as an ambassador for Christ so we can reach the world with the gospel. If you are on a laptop, then you know you go right to South Bay Abundant, southbayaoc.com. Go ahead and push the giving icon, give accordingly. If you're on your cell phone, same thing, southbayaoc.com, go to the three bars, push the three bars, and then go to giving and give accordingly. And thank you for those of you who are like me, you still write a check. Make it payable to SBALC and then mail it to 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90807, Suite B-279. That's 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. And again, made payable to SBALC. For Bible study, we're just having the most amazing time in Bible study. So I want to encourage you to join us this Wednesday. We're in 1 Kings chapter 6. Let me say it again. 1 Kings chapter 6. Please join us for Bible study this week. I'm telling you, it's just been a blessed time. God is doing so much teaching and giving us principles on how to apply the Word of God, how to live the Word of God. We're following Solomon in 1 Kings as he's just taken over the kingdom. He's given us insights on how to connect with God, how to get our life in order, how to lead, how to have peace with God. It is beautiful, family, and very relevant for what we are today. So thankful and so grateful for Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 7:30. Some people make it every Wednesday. I know that's not realistic for everyone, but at least once a month. Make the effort and be there once a month. 6:30 to 7:30, it's an hour that would change your life. So that's Bible study. And then thank you for those of you who've given us the privilege to pray for you, and you've sent in your prayer requests, your prayer needs, and your praise reports. life@southbayalc.com. Make a note of that email address. That's the same email address that you'll send for our new members class. We have a new members class. It'll be next Sunday, the 25th at 2 p.m., 1 hour from 2 to 3. We've had one last month. We're having one this month. Extremely powerful. A great time of fellowship and learning about South Bay Abundant Life Church, who we are, what we believe, and what we are doing to touch lives around the world and how you can be a part of that. So let me say it again. If you're interested in being a member, a new member at South Bay Abundant Life Church, whether you're Zoom, Facebook, or we had a member of ours just want to go through the class again, just because the word and the fellowship is so good. So it doesn't matter. Send me an email. so I can get you the Zoom coordinates, send the email to life@southbayalc.com. New members next Sunday, 2 p.m., October 25th. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray and get into the Word. Have a lot to share this morning. We're still in the series, The Good Shepherd. We'll stop where we stop, and then we'll pick it up next week, Lord willing. But get your notebooks ready, get your Bible ready, and let's journey into the Word. Let's pray before we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. We need you, Lord, today more than ever. God, help us in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just stop and pause and say help. As we're praying, just like in the book of Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, the church was praying without ceasing. God, let us be a church that prays without ceasing. Let us be a body of Christ. Let us be individuals that are always praying. David said in Psalms 119, he said he will praise God 7 times a day, Lord. Let us walk around with that attitude, to be grateful, to be thankful, God. So we love you and we bless you today. We ask that you speak to us through your Word. We need you today, Lord. Speak to us. We got enough of conspiracy theories and noise and opinions and suggestions and news articles. And God, we've had enough of that, God. Now give us the encouragement, the power, the strength, the light, the peace that comes from your Word. So we're just asking, bless your people to hear. We open our hearts and minds to receive what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, take over, rule, and reign. Teach your people, God. Bring to our remembrance all the things you've said unto us, God. We don't want information. We could get that anywhere. We want revelation that leads to transformation, God, so we can live in application. We can apply it to our life. Bless your people now. Bless your Word. We know that your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Illuminate our way. We need to see clearly now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, family, open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 12. We'll pick it up at verse 6, where we left off last week. And so if you're making a title, if you need a title for this, those of you that are taking notes, this morning we're talking about prayer, we're talking about providence, we're talking about Peter, and we're talking about prison. So let me say it again. We got prayer, we got the providence of God, we have Peter, and we have prison. We also, as we connect the dots this morning, we were talking about Paul and Silas. Last week, we were talking about hope in the midst of hopelessness. We're still talking about that. We're talking about the providence of God. So let me connect the dots so we can go ahead and get into the Word for those maybe who weren't here last week. Paul and Silas were in jail, and at midnight, they started praying. God shook up the prison. The doors flew open. The jailer wants to kill himself, and they said, "Do yourself no harm." So that's why we went over to Acts chapter 12 to find out why the jailer wanted to kill himself. Because in Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison. The Lord sets him free, sends an angel to set him free. And then the other guards, the 16 guards that were watching him, were all killed, because that's the Roman law, that if you let the prisoner escape, then you are killed. So we pick it up in the book of Acts in chapter 12 in verse 6 in just a minute. But I want you to make a note that Paul and Silas were in a hopeless situation, but they were connected to God. So there's always hope when you're connected to God, the true and living God, which we know is Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's always hope when you are connected to God. So they're in prison, and at midnight, as opposed to them crying and complaining and going off, they were praising and they were worshiping. And they were praying. So make a note. So family, if you're up at night, sometimes we just can't sleep. God gets us up. We're not complaining. We're not talking about folks. We're not asking why. Start praising, start praying, and start worshiping God. So as opposed to worrying about stuff, never let worry keep you up. I'm saying when you're connected to God, don't worry. Look at Peter in Acts 12 and 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, underline the same night, because we know that Paul and Silas, they were praying at midnight. So it's nighttime. Peter's in jail, and look what Peter was doing. The same night, Peter was sleeping. So let's stop right there. So Peter's in a hopeless situation. He's in prison. He's between two guards, chained, and he's not up worrying. He's not stressing out. He's not calling and complaining and crying and talking about folks and upset with God. He's sleeping. Make a note, he's sleeping. Some of you are up late at night. I don't know why. I do know why. You're not trusting God. If you are up at night, be like Paul and Silas, praying, worshiping, and praising God. And even in the midst of their situation, here we have Peter. He's not crying and complaining. Peter's in prison. He's chained up. He got 16 guards making sure he doesn't escape. What does Peter do? He goes to sleep. Why? Because he's connected to God. He's trusting God. Underline, make a note, family, I'm telling you, it's a game changer. I don't care what your location is. You can't limit God based upon your location. Don't limit God based upon where you are, what you're going through, and where you are. We're looking at a hopeless situation in the natural. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers or the guards before the door kept the prison. He's sleeping between two guards, and there's 14 guards that are guarding the door. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he tapped Peter on the side and raised him up. And that word raised right there in the Greek means he woke him up. So Peter gets woke, and then he says, stand up quickly. So God will wake you up. God will touch your heart. God will send people to share the gospel with you, to wake you up. So your spirit kind of snaps and you go, oh, yeah, I need to get my life right with Christ. God will send people to wake you up. But then it's up to you. The choice is yours to stand up quickly and then start following God. Look at the end of verse 7. He says, when he told him to stand up, his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said, get dressed, get yourself together. And he did, and then he told him to go ahead and follow me. So God will get us up, he'll wake us up, but then it's up to us to stand up. It's our choice to stand up quickly. Stop making excuses to stand up quickly and then start following God. But let me show you something on the providence of God. Regardless of where we are, God makes a way. God makes a way. We know that eventually, we all have to transition to the presence of God. Remember, God made a way for Peter right here, but Peter was crucified upside down when it was time for him to transition to be with God. So God makes a way when it's in his will. Amen. God opens doors when it's in his will. God sends his angels to release Peter. Even with Paul and Silas, they were in jail. God released them. It wasn't his time. But then we know that Paul, when it was his time, his head was cut off because he wouldn't stop preaching the gospel. Peter was crucified upside down because he wouldn't stop preaching the gospel. So make a note. We serve a God of detail, specifics, order, and timing. Right now, it's not their time. And the providence of God steps in. Allow prayer and the providence of God to infiltrate your life. And then start following God. Look at another example, too, in the Old Testament. I love God because of his providence. Let's go to the book of Esther, chapter 5. So make a note, the word providence, two words, pro and video, before the video. So make a note that God has seen the video before you have lived it. That's what providence means, pro video. Providence. God has already seen your life played out before you have lived it. So stop worrying and start trusting. We see it with Paul and Silas. We see it with Peter. Now we see it here with Mordecai. God moves on our behalf. We get midnight. We get night. It's sometime at night. Okay, midnight with Paul and Silas. Sometime at night with Peter. And then at night, we get it with Mordecai. Let's put it in just a little bit of context. And I wish I had time to go through the whole book of Esther, which I don't. Maybe we will at some point. But it's just an incredible book on the providence of God. Make a note in the book of Esther. God's name is not mentioned once, but the hand of God moves throughout the book. Let me say that again. In the book of Esther, you will not find God's name mentioned once. So it just goes to show you can preach with your life. You can preach with your testimony. You can preach with how you live in your life, and you don't have to use God's name. People will see it. The hand of God will be on your life, and people will know it. You see the hand of God on the life of Mordecai and the life of Esther. You don't have to go around browbeating people talking about God. Just live the life and let people see it. Let people see God working in your life. We pick it up at Esther 5 and 14. We have the antagonist, as we would call, which is Haman. And he wants Mordecai to bow down to him. He has everything, but his pride is going to get him killed, and his sons and his 10 sons. His pride, his arrogance will get him killed. Remember, make a note. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven, and pride is what keeps you and I from getting into heaven, because we're too proud to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can lift us up at the right time. So here's Haman. He's complaining. He has everything, but he wants to be worshiped. Mordecai says, I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to do it. I serve God. I'm not going to worship any false gods. I can appreciate people. I can appreciate positions. I can appreciate things, but I'm not going to worship anything but the true and living God. So we pick it up at verse 14, and Haman then said, Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends. Make a note, all his friends. Be careful who you listen to. You got to get godly advice. Don't surround yourself with people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. Surround yourself with people who tell you what you need to hear and what God is speaking. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, all your friends, unto him, let the gallows be made. That's where you hang somebody. Be made 50 cubits, 75 feet high tomorrow. Underline tomorrow. And tomorrow speak unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged there. Then go in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman. And he caused the gallows to be made to hang Mordecai. This is the night before. Haman is planning on killing Mordecai, has a gallows to be built. I love God. Mordecai loves God. God steps in. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Underline, on that night. On that night, we serve a God of timing. This is the most amazing thing. While we were asleep last night, God was working on our behalf, and we did. You don't even have to be awake for God to work for you. Make a note, family. That's why, stop worrying. Stop stressing out. Connect with God, trust God, and let God work it out. You don't even have to be awake. Last night, God was touching somebody's heart on your behalf. Look what it says. On that night, this is the night. Mordecai is to be hanged the next day, but on that night, the king could not sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records to the chronicles, and they were read before the king. So make a note, the king, he can't sleep because God won't allow him to sleep. So he brings the book of records. He didn't get music. Normally, you get something to drink. You get some soft music, or as a king who gets whoever he wants to help him sleep and does whatever a king does to sleep. But he says, bring me the book of Chronicles. Why? Because God is touching his heart. The Spirit of God is leading him, number one, not to sleep, but then get the book of Chronicles. Why do we get the book of Chronicles? Verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai, underline Mordecai, the same Mordecai that Haman is planning on hanging the next day, is found in the book. He just happens. We got to start living on purpose and trusting God. It just happens to turn to that page where Mordecai saved the king's life. Come on, family. Why are we worried about stuff? This is the providence of God. God has it worked out. And it was found written where Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains or guards, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Verse 3. And the king said, what have we ever done for Mordecai for this? Then the king's servant that ministered unto him said, hey, we've never done anything for Mordecai. And I'll stop it right there. Otherwise, I got to go through a whole study. Let's go back to Acts chapter 12. Otherwise, I have to do a whole study in the book of Esther. But to make a long story short, the king decides to honor Mordecai. And Haman is is killed because of his wicked plan to kill all the Jews. But if God doesn't wake the king up that night, then Haman kills Mordecai. Mordecai's sleeping. God's working on his behalf. Make a note, family. God works on our behalf, even when we're sleeping. We talk about the providence of God. So make a note. You just can't give up regardless of what the situation looks like. Keep praying regardless of what it looks like. Peter sleeping, Mordecai sleeping, Paul and Silas up praying, praising, worshiping. God is working. They're not worried. They're not stressed out. They're not getting ulcers behind stuff that's temporary. They're focused on things that have eternal value. And we should do the same. We have to stop listening to the lies of the enemy and fall in love with the word of God, fall in love with God. I'm telling you, family, it's so much going on these days. You got to eliminate the noise. You got to stick to the word because that's what's true. And remember, it is guaranteed by God based on Psalms 119, 160. The word of God is guaranteed by God. I have a lot to read this, so I'm going to read some of this. It says in verse 7, because of the prayers of the saints, God shows up and a miracle takes place. Our job is to trust God and pray. Let me say it again. Our job is to trust God and pray. Make a note. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, we have to stop worrying about what the world is doing, what the politicians are doing. God has put the if on us. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal the land. As Christians, we're out complaining, but God said, that's on you. We haven't humbled ourselves. We haven't prayed. It's amazing. God puts the if on us. In chapter 5 right here says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The church, we need to be praying without ceasing for our country, for our family, for our friends, for our boss, for our co-workers, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our parents, for our siblings. We need to be praying without ceasing. We need to never stop praying for them as a church. Make a note, I found out the more I pray, the less I complain. Let me say it again. The more I pray, the less I complain and the less I worry. The more I stay connected to God, the more I pray and praise and worship and the less that I worry. Look at verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. Now we got to pause right there because there's a light shining in the prison, which shows that God is in the prison. We know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Oh, but then see, look, we kind of forget what Christ told us. Let's turn to Matthew 5 and 14. Church, we've forgotten what God has told us. The light shined in prison. We know that God is light. God is love. The word is light and life. And here we are in Matthew 5 and 14. And Jesus passes the baton to us. Oh, Jesus passed the baton to us. And he says in Matthew 5, 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. So now Christ is saying the light shined in prison. Right? But now God is saying that we are the light of the world because Christ is in us. Now, hear what I'm not saying. It's not arrogance. It's an assignment. It's not something you say, well, I'm the light. No, you don't brag about it. You live it. It's not arrogance. It's an assignment. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of Christ based on 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're the light of the world. We can't forget that. Family, we have to start shifting the conversation and bring it back to the light of the world. Someone wants to complain to you about something, you need to say, you know what, I'm a practicing Christian. Amen? I'm not just a Christian in theory, I'm practicing. Well, you know, I'm a practicing Christian, and every day I'm trying to practice loving and trusting God, so I try not to worry. Shift the conversation because you're the light of the world. Shine some light on each and every situation where someone is trying to make it seem dark. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. We've passed the baton to us. We have to shift these conversations. Let's not forget what our assignment is. It's not arrogance. It's an assignment to be the light of the world. He put it on us. He said, stop hiding it. You're supposed to be on a hill. Look at 5 and 15. Neither do mankind, or mankind should not put a light, a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. You should be a light in your house. I know, family, nobody wants to hear this type of message. It's a lot going on. But God puts it on us. We're the light of the world. So be a light in your house. It should be brightness in your house because you're there and because the Holy Spirit's in you. If you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the light of the world is in you and you can shine that light in your house. Now, we've forgotten who we are. That's why the world is so dark, because those of us that are light, we're hiding our light under a bushel. We don't want to share it because it's really, you know, it's the spirit of the Antichrist, which is against Christ and instead of Christ, anti, against, and instead. That spirit, boy, it's prevalent in our culture today. But then if we're hiding our light, then darkness prevails. And Jesus passed the baton to us. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before mankind that they may see the good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let me say it again. Verse 16. Put a star by this. You should have it. Put a star by 14, 15, and 16, because we are the light of the world. And then verse 16. Let your light so shine before mankind that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's an assignment so that God gets the glory because the light is shining in us. And as we go about and we're giving and we're sharing and we're loving, which is what we should do. Christ said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that's when our light is shining and we don't take credit for it. We give the glory to God because we're the light of the world, just like Jesus Christ was. Now let's go back to Acts. Family, stop. We got to remember who we are. We got to get past the distractions of the world and let our light shine. It's not going to change. Nothing changes until we do, until the church takes the place of where it's supposed to be and be the light of the world. And it's easier to complain and point fingers and blame, but Jesus passed the baton to us. Make a note, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. And think about it. God wants us to shine in 2020. Two things God wants us to do. God wants us to pray and God wants us to shine in 2020. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of civil unrest, where's the church at? The church should be praying and shining, bringing light to a dark situation. Shifting the conversation to Jesus Christ, who claimed to be the light of the world, and now he's passed the baton to us. And the only cure for mankind's sin condition is Jesus Christ. We have to stop allowing situations and circumstances, we have to stop having them make us forget who we truly work for. Stop letting the enemy extinguish your light because of sin, pride, arrogance, guilt, and shame. If you are a Christian, you are the light of the world. God wants us to pray and shine in 2020. We talked about it also in verse 7, how the angel tapped Peter lightly on the side and woke him up. He woke him up, but then he told Peter, you got to stand up quickly. Family, we got to stand up quickly. We don't have time to waste. We're in the last quarter of the year. We got to stand up quickly. God's given us a window. God's given us a window of opportunity to be the light of the world in one of the most darkest situations in recent history. Where's the church? We have to be relevant. Otherwise, we'll be forgotten. We have to take our place. have to take our place. Stop letting situations dictate. Can't be walking according to how we feel and our emotions. We have to walk according to the word of God. So he tells Peter to get up. It says, when you stand up, you got to blow out the candles of your pity party and watch and feel the chains of bondage and oppression and depression and guilt and shame and disappointment. Watch them and feel them fall off your life and your situation. The Holy Spirit of God wants to touch somebody's life this morning. Saying, stand up. It's time to stand up. Then we look at verse 8. And the angel said unto him, put on your belt. Pull your pants up. Put on your belt. He said, where we're going, you can't sag. You got to get yourself together. It's interesting. He said, put your belt on and stop sagging. And he said, now put on your shoes in verse 8. And so he did. Underline, so he did. And Peter was obedient. Family, we have to listen to the voice of God. We got to get dressed. We got to put on our shoes. We got to start listening to the voice of God. We got to be obedient. Where God has taken you on this journey, everyone can't go. He tells him to put on the rest of your clothes. And he said, be obedient and follow God. Wow. Look at verse 8. Go on and push that share button, Facebook family. I'm telling you, we're going deep but not complicated. The angel said unto him, put on your belt. Put on your sandals. And Peter did. That's because he stood up and he did it quickly. So he's being obedient. And because he did that, he said unto them, put on the rest of your clothes and then follow me. Underline, follow me. Because family, you got to follow something. You got to follow somebody. Jesus said, you got to follow me this morning. It's a lot going on in this world today. And I'm telling you, the only answer is Jesus Christ. Biggest election you'll ever have is electing Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. All this other temporary stuff is going to fade away. It's time to follow God. And follow means to be a disciple. It means that I'm practicing living for God every day. Some days are more successful than others, but I'm practicing every day to live for God. I'm practicing every day to get closer to God. I'm practicing every day to listen for the voice of God. That's what it means to follow God. Remember, make a note, because it's a lot of things out there. But the word says it's not about perfection, it's about practice. People are trying to be perfect, you'll never be perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Christ. It's not about perfection. Don't get caught up on, I got to change this, I got to. No, you don't. You got to start practicing living for God every day. Stop trying to be perfect. That's a trick of the enemy to keep you where you are and you stay paralyzed and you never move. Start practicing for God every day. And the first thing you need to do is start following God. Every day. Wake up and say, God, give me the wisdom to follow you. And then look at verse 9. It says, and he went out because he got up, because he followed God. He went out and he followed him. He's following the angel now. And he said, look at verse 9. It's really interesting. He said, and he didn't know that it was real. He couldn't understand which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. Peter was in obedience. He's following God. Make a note, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. I'm giving you the addresses to these because I don't want you to think these are just cliches. This is the word of God. It's in the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. So Peter thinks it's a dream. He doesn't even think it's real, but he's following God. He's listening to the voice of God. And you and I, we're not going to see it. But because he's following God, he thinks it's a vision. He's allowing God to give him a new vision and a true vision. Allow God to give you a new vision and a true vision for your life, but you got to follow him. It does come with conditions. You got to follow him. Make Christ your foundation. And then pray, God, give me a new vision. What's the purpose? What's the plan you have for my life? Give me a new vision and a true vision. Thank you, Lord, for the obedience to follow your voice. And thank you for a new vision and a true vision. Family, start training your ear to listen to the voice of God. Make a note that in John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they know me. Train your ear to listen to the voice of God. It's a lot of noise out there. I'm telling you, and make sure you're listening to the voice of God. Because remember, we can't be led by feelings and emotions. They take us somewhere we don't need to go. We got to be led by the voice of God. Verse 10, and when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city. So here's Peter. He's in the inner prison. He's passing all these guards with the angel, the light shining. They're going past the first ward, the second ward, and then they come to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. Underline accord. The word accord in the Greek means like automus, where we get the word automatic. So the gate, the door opened automatically. The iron gate, underlines it. It's not just a regular door. This is an iron gate. Because Peter's following God, because he's listening to the voice of God, because he's being obedient, God opens doors automatically. Somebody make a note of that. That's why he's following by faith and not by sight. There's doors that God is waiting to open in your life automatically, but you got to follow him. You got to walk by faith and not by what you see. Your eyes will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. Your emotions will lie to you, but the word of God will not lie to you. God will not lie to you. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Let me say it again. Your eyes will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. Your emotions will lie to you, but the word of God won't. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not arrogance. It's an assignment to let our light shine, to follow God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the narrow, difficult road that we're on. It's a tough one. But in times like these, it is the road to be on. It's the only road that leads somewhere. All the other roads lead to destruction. The broad roads lead to destruction. You can read them for yourself in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Look at verse 10. When they had passed the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And then immediately the angel departed from him. So as we're following God, God will take us to a point. And then God said, you got to keep trusting and keep walking. When we need that extra push, God is there for us. But then God said, you got to continue the journey on your own. You got to trust me. The angel can't hold your hand, right? You got to allow on the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, to lead you as you're listening to God's voice. And then you have to make the choice to follow God. He immediately got him out. Now go on and do your thing. You know what to do. Keep following God. Surround yourself with the godly people. The first thing Peter does, he goes to the house of the people that were praying for him. God wants to open doors automatically. The word of God is guaranteed by God. Peter walks out with the angel and then he has to walk. You can't live off your grandmother's faith. You can't live off your mama and daddy's faith. Some parents, kids are saved or not. You can't live off your kids' faith. You got to walk with God on you. You got to choose to walk with God on your own accord. No one else can make that decision for you. You can't live off of somebody else's faith. It doesn't work like that. You and I, in the midst of hopelessness, God can open doors automatically, but we have to walk, we have to follow God. It's always hope in the middle of hopeless situations. Look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he finally realized, hey, this is not a dream. This is real. Look what he says. Now I know of a certainty that the Lord has sent this angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. Isn't that something? So Peter had to stop and pause and realize, man, he's grateful and thankful. He says, look, man, now I know for sure that God is real. Isn't that something? And I think as we look back at our life, especially those of us that are you know, a little bit older, you maybe your 40s, I would say 40 and up, we look back at our life and our life is filled with moments of, you know, man, now I know that God is real. Our life should be filled with moments and moments and moments and memories of times where we can just stop and think, oh my, man, you know what? I'm here today. That's why Peter is grateful and thankful. That's why we should be grateful and thankful, because we look back and realize it could have been so different. But I know that God is real. I know that God has been with me. I know God's been leading me, covering me from danger, seen and unseen. And when I didn't have enough sense to follow him, he still loved and covered me. I know that God is real. We all need to have those. When you get home tonight, just stop and think and have I know a God is real moment. And this should be filled, your life should be filled with many of them if you understand the grace of God. So he has this, I know that God is real moment. He's grateful, he's thankful. So then let's take a look at, let's go to verse 16. So he goes to the house, they goes to the house of the church, the church, it's a home church. So we see, make a note, the church is not a building, but it's the people, and they were in the home. He goes to that home. He's knocking on a door, and the young lady thinks it's his angel because they know Peter's locked up. They don't believe that it's him. We pick it up in verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Make a note, they were astonished. Because the situation was hopeless. Peter, they knew he was going to be killed because James had just been killed. Peter was going to be next. The situation was hopeless. But because they were praying, God intervened and brought hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. The prayer, the providence, Peter in the prison. But think about this. They were astonished. They were surprised at God. They were amazed that God had answered their prayer. And so I'm saying, family, when we pray, we have to believe that God is going to answer that prayer. That's what allows us to pray and cast our cares upon God, because he cares for us. As the word says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon Christ because he cares for you. So we can do that, then we can rest. And I shouldn't be surprised when God answers a prayer. Let me say that again. You and I shouldn't be surprised when God answers a prayer. We shouldn't be astonished that God answers our prayer. As you're praying for your spouse, you're praying for your kids. I just don't understand how you can pray and complain unless you don't believe that God can do the extraordinary, right? So as I'm praying for my spouse and my coworkers and my kids, I'm not complaining about them. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about this crazy world, because I'm praying for it and I'm expecting God to do a miracle. I'm not going to be astonished when God steps in and does a miracle, because I've been praying for that. And that's the difference when you are praying and you're just playing, because you don't even believe what you're praying. It's time out for playing, and praying is time in for praying and believing God. Family, that's what we get. I mean, this is the time now. It doesn't get any more critical than the moment that we're in now, where we got to pray and not play, and we got to pray and believe that God is going to do something supernatural, just like he did here. They shouldn't have been astonished. You and I shouldn't be astonished when God answers those prayers. Keep praying. Keep believing. Stop complaining. I'm talking to my mature Christians now. There's nothing I should be complaining about. Why? Because I'm praying about it and believing God's going to make it happen. The providence of God, I'm believing in it. It's not called denial. It's talking about being connected to God and knowing the word of God and how God operates. When you and I were asleep last night, God's working. When you and I sleep tonight, God's working. When we're walking around today, God's working. Be a light. Shift the conversation. this Sunday, shift the conversation and let your light shine. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of Christ. Let us bring light to this dark world when people are going crazy, psychotic about the election and the world and all that. Bring some light to them. Let them know that Christ is still alive and on the throne and he's coming back. Get your life right. Get right before you get left. Let your light shine. Let people know. And don't be astonished when God answers prayers. I'm praying for my boss. I'm praying for my ministry. I'm praying for my church family. I'm praying for my wife and my kids. Praying for my business. I'm not surprised when God moves because I've been praying for that every day. I'm not astonished. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And I'm encouraged to continue to pray more. Look at verse 18. And this is why that jailer, this was the jailer's friends. That's why he's getting ready to kill himself in chapter 16 because of what happened to his friends in chapter 12. When Peter escaped, look at verse 18. It was, what does it say? Now, as soon as it was day, remember, God moved at night. And then we get up the next day and we run to God and we keep working for God. As soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? It was not a small incident. It was a big mess. And those 16 soldiers are trying to figure out what happened. How did Peter get away? How did he escape? They're trying to explain it. They're trying to make things up. It is a big mess. But look at this. Here's the flip side of that. It says, read this, so I'm going to read it. It says, it was a big mess, and the soldiers who chose to follow man and not God had to deal with those consequences of their decisions and their choices. Let me say it again. Paul and Peter and all the disciples were preaching Jesus Christ and Christ crucified, telling folks to get saved, and then people made a choice. I'm going to follow man, and I'm going to follow God, just like they do today. And then they got to live with that decision. They're going to die with that decision. And they're going to stand before God with that decision. So let me say it again. It was a big mess. And the soldiers who chose to follow man and not God had to deal with those consequences. And you and I who choose to follow God or follow man, you're going to have to deal with those consequences. And that's your choice. That was their choice. They thought their military skill, their intelligence, their strategies, their plans, they thought that would save them. They walked around as soldiers in their arrogance. And don't get it twisted. There are soldiers and who are Christians, but these chose not to be Christians and they had to deal with those consequences. And your military strategy only takes you so far when you stand before God. Your intelligence, your planning, your skill, your ability to fight and to draw your weapon, it only takes you so far. And then you stand before God and you realize those things are futile. And there's no hope in a weapon when you're standing before God. They chose to persecute Christians as opposed to becoming a Christian. Let me say it again. They chose to persecute the Christians as opposed to becoming a Christian. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They make their decision. Look, family, people make life and death situations every day. We do. Choose God or not. It's a life or death situation every day. And you and I, what's our choice? We have to choose to follow God and make God our foundation. Not our weapons, not our skill and our talent and our intelligence. Not our network or our net worth. All those things are good, but they have no eternal value apart from Jesus Christ. Make a note, family. Choices have consequences. Let me say it again. We teach our kids that in the natural, that choices have consequences. Right here, God's trying to teach us in the spiritual. Choices have consequences. Okay, verse 19. Let's finish today with this. And then we'll pick it up next week, going back to Paul and Silas, where it flips and the jailer that's guarding them, all of a sudden it becomes a hopeless situation for him until they reach out to him with the light of Christ. and changes his life and his whole family's life. But look at these soldiers. This is why he was getting ready to kill himself. Look at verse 19. And when Herod had sought for Peter and didn't find him, he interrogated the guards, all 16 of them, and commanded that they should be put to death. And then Herod went down from Judea to Caesarea, and that's where he stayed at. And see, remember when Christ resurrected, because they set the soldiers and the guards there, you read the word, it talks about how they paid them money. And they said they would corroborate their story and collaborate the story that the disciples came and stole the body, which is, those soldiers ain't going to let anyone steal that body because they know they're going to die. Christ resurrected. And the disciples had turned into cowards anyway, so they weren't even thinking about going back. This same Peter now who's in prison, he cussed the little girl out and told her, I don't even know Jesus. So he's not going to go and all of a sudden get bold and fight the guards and take the bodies. That didn't happen. The guards wouldn't let anyone steal that body. But we know that God resurrected our Savior. Family, you have to start as a Christian. When people have questions, maybe you're watching, you're not a Christian, you have to start with the resurrection. You got to research the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if that didn't happen, all this is just for nothing. You have to start with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this just validates it because the soldiers knew if the body's gone, they're gone. They're not going to let anybody steal it. And right here, Peter was gone because God opened the miraculous doors for him, and all 16 of them were put to death. Then we pick up the story in Acts chapter 16 and 27, then we realize why that soldier wanted to kill himself. Because his buddies had already been killed for letting Peter be released. So as we close, just think about this. I have it written down. It says, Herod interrogated the jailers who were guarding Peter, all 16 of them. The jailers who were guarding Peter were put to death. They're trained military Roman guards. Penalty of prisoners escaping was death. So here's the word of God to us this morning. Make sure you and I are building our life on Jesus Christ, which is the true foundation. The jailer who guarded Paul and Silas knew what had happened to his fellow jailers. That's why he was going to save the king the trouble and kill himself. And then we'll see next week how Paul and Silas brings hope. This whole book is about God bringing hope to hopeless situations. Paul and Silas brings hope as it shifts to the jailer who's without hope. They bring hope to his hopeless situation, saves him, God saves him and his entire family. And that's where we'll pick it up next week. Let us go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you, Lord, as we just want to recommit our lives to trusting you, being the light, being the representative, being an ambassador for Christ. Thank you for your word this morning to reset, to refocus, to renew, to refresh, to remind and revive us that we have work to do, even in the midst of the pandemic, that we have to let our light shine. We have to shift some conversations so God gets the glory and the light of God can shine through us and touch the lives of others. Thank you, God, for the awesome position of being an ambassador of Christ, a representative of Christ. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. We need your strength today because it's a narrow, difficult road that we're walking on. But it's the best and the blessed road that leads to eternal life. God, we understand and recognize the only thing we take to heaven is other people. God, let us be ignited to be that light as we're reminded that all this other stuff fades away, but your word never fades away. So we can trust you. We can run to you. We can depend on you. And God, right now we need you. Thank you for your word this morning. May we continue to pray, be reminded of your providence and the power of God in each and every situation that even looks hopeless, feels hopeless, is hopeless. May we trust you to bring the hope like you always do, Lord. We thank you, we bless you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe your situation just seems really hopeless, and you don't know where to turn. The first step is, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, that's the first step. And if you have accepted Christ, then the next step is just following God, running to God, trusting God, believing in God. How do you do? You practice every day. I've encouraged the church for the last 4 years, read a proverb a day, because that gives us the wisdom of God. And then it teaches us how to live. And then read a psalm as well. I recommend Psalms 145. There are so many great psalms. Psalms 27, Psalms 145, Psalms 34, Psalms 23, Psalms 18, Psalms 91. It's how you practice having a foundation in God. Reading the Proverbs for the wisdom and the Psalms for the protection. And then stay connected to those who are connected to God. Seek advice from them. Don't be like Haman and ask people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. Ask people who are going to tell you what you need to hear, and then have the courage to follow God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's as simple. God, we complicate things. God doesn't. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's as simple as asking and repeating this prayer after me. Dear Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for resurrecting on that third day. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Right now, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Take over my life. Help me to follow you and help me to be the person that you created me to be. Lord, show me what you had in mind when you created me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can teach me to live for you. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you've already accepted Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior and you just need to rededicate your life, the fellowship might have been broken, but your relationship with God will never be broken. The Bible teaches that once you make that genuine profession of faith, that Christ is there, but then the fellowship is broken through sin, and then I have to rededicate my life and ask God to forgive me and help me to live for God. That takes place every day, because we are, the word in Proverbs says the thought of foolishness is sin. So we get foolish thoughts every day. So we ask God to forgive us every day. God, help me to. But then in Philippians 4:8, it teaches us how to think on things that are lovely and true and honest and pure and just. So it's this thing, it's this difficult walk that you have every day, that you're asking God to help you be better. You're practicing being better for God. You're asking for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you were to ask God what was the last sin that you committed, God would say, I don't remember, because God doesn't keep record. Love doesn't keep score. God says, just get up and keep practicing. You're in the game. We win the game. Get on the practice field and keep practicing daily. Stop trying to be perfect. I just need you to practice. Confess the sin and keep moving and run to me. That's rededication. We all should be rededicating our life in some form or fashion every day. And as we are rededicating our lives, remember, we're working for Christ. We're ambassadors. We got work to do. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples. God has given you a sphere of influence, people that you see every day. Just give them a little bit of light every day. Don't browbeat them. You don't have to go in there preaching. Just share your personal testimony or just let your light shine. Just like in the book of Esther, remember, God wasn't mentioned once, but God is throughout. That's such an encouraging book. Whenever you want to be reminded that God is working, even when you don't understand it, read the book of Esther. It's a beautiful read, and it's a beautiful reminder. So I want to remind you as well, if you have prayer needs, prayer requests, send us an email, life@southbayaoc.com. Give us the privilege of praying for you. Make a note, it was in Acts 12 and 5, it says the church was praying without ceasing. That's our job. Christ intercedes for us. Jesus never stops praying for us. We're a reflection of Christ. We should never stop praying for others. I believe it's Luke 18 and 1. It says that we should pray and not faint. We should pray and not lose hope. We should pray and not give up. Family, that's our lifeline to God. The enemy is always going to make you think you're too tired. You're too busy. God doesn't want to hear what you have to say. Look at what you just did. Look at what you just thought. Look at what you just said. Those are all lies of the enemy. David said it in Psalms 119, 164, I hate the lies of the enemy, but I've fallen in love with the word of God. Prayer is our lifeline. Keep praying, keep fasting, keep believing. And we thank you for those prayer requests because that's what we're called to do, is to pray. life@southbayaoc.com. And then remember Wednesday night, this Wednesday, we are in 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6, incredible chapter. God has been teaching so much on Wednesday nights. I mean, it's just life-changing and it's powerful. It is life-changing. Please make the effort to be there. And you can go to our website, southbayaoc.com. The Zoom coordinates, the passcodes, everything is on our website. And then I want to again thank you for your giving. It allows us to get the message out. We're not going to compromise God's word. I'm going to preach it just like God. I'm going to preach it and teach it just like God gives it to me. I'm not a politician. I'm not an activist. I'm a pastor. I got to give you the word. And that's the only thing that doesn't fade away. And we need the word so much today and every day, and especially in the midst of what we're going through as a country and even as a world. So thank you for your giving. It allows me and allows the ministry just to get the word out to all over the world, countries and people. And so we're thankful for that. So thank you for your giving. And then lastly, for those of you who desire to be a new member, to be part of South Bay Abundant Life Church, send me an email, life@southbayaoc. I'll get you the coordinates for our new members meeting next week, next Sunday from 2 to 3. Gonna love it. It's a blessing, a great time of fellowship. And it's just helping you stand on that foundation that God is building in your life. We all need a church family. We all need to be connected to someone who's going to tell us what the word of God says, what we need to hear, and not necessarily what we want to hear. Well, thank you so much, family. It's a blessing to be here this Sunday. It's a blessing to be in the land of the living. Reasonable health, right mind, another day. So we don't take anything for granted. You know, we're all just one accident, one phone call away of life changing drastically. Be grateful, be thankful, stop complaining, and keep praying more and more each day, and watch the providence of God work in your life. Allow God, follow God, and allow him to open those automatic doors that he desires to open. But if you're not following, they won't open because you're in a different place than you need to be. So let's pray, and then we will dismiss. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. So grateful for your word, so grateful for your people. So grateful for the foundation of Christ. So grateful that we can stand on it. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, family. Look forward to seeing you, some of you, Wednesday night, and then again next Sunday. And be blessed. Follow God. Pray. Trust the providence of God. Trust the hand of God upon your life. All right. Love you. God bless you. See you next week.